It's wonderful to be with you today, to worship with you. Pastor Mark once introduced me as a member of this congregation, but I never show up because I'm always usually out in other congregations each Sunday. So it was really nice to get up today from Lakeside and only drive here. Five of our other staff are out at Great Falls and Lewistown and Haver, and one in Missoula today speaking the word of God. And so I had the shortest drive, so I'm very happy to be here and to worship with you and to share more about Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp, this ministry that Bethlehem has highlighted this month to celebrate and to help us all be aware of. So your camp is located 17 miles south of here, and I know that because my office is right over here. And how many of you knew that Bethlehem was the founder of Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp? Most of you knew that? That's exciting. In the early 40s, Reverend Allman Johnson was a pastor here, and this congregation gave him paid time off to go speak to all the other Lutheran congregations to talk about starting a camp. And this week I received a card from one of Reverend Allman Johnson's daughters. She gave a memorial for her sister, her older sister, Corrine, who had died. And she wrote, "Corrine entered college when the family moved to Kalispell, so she did not have the same memories that I do of Kalispell. Our home was 621 Main Street, so that will always be special to me. We are thankful for Dad's ministry at Bethlehem and that they gave him time to scout for a site for a Bible camp. Glory be to God for Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp." I just thought that was wonderful that came this week. Several years ago, our staff decided they wanted to have their own coffee blend with Montana Coffee Traders, and some of you know this story. So I was telling Reverend Gary Cockrell, my predecessor, about the staff wanting to get some coffee made. And he goes, "Oh, we got to go down to the archives. There's something about coffee in the old minutes." So we went down over here and crawled through all these old records, and sure enough, here was this thing about coffee. And Reverend Allman Johnson, and he had gathered people, and they were meeting at the Methodist camp, which is about 14 miles south of where Flathead is. And this was in the minutes in 1941. "While the Methodists have been very accommodating to us, they will no longer serve us our evening coffee. So we need to travel to Polson or Kalispell for our evening coffee. After a summer of this, we decided it was time to look for our own land on Flathead Lake." So I always think, thanks be to God that us Lutherans love coffee, right? Because we have 250 acres, thanks to they had to do that. Now, I'm thinking about 1941. Can you imagine what cars they had then? They were serious about their coffee. They're driving a long way to get evening coffee, right? What else was going on in 1941? The war was going on. Now, can you imagine that people were gathering? And you read these old minutes, and Gary is writing a book now about the history of the camp that we hope to have done. He hopes to have done. I keep teasing him, Gary, if you're listening. It was going to be done by the 70th, but he's hoping it to be done by the 80th celebration, which will be next year. But he's writing this history about the camp. And one of the things that it talks about is that they wanted a place where soldiers could come back and reunite with their families after having been gone for so long, and a place to renew and to get away from the busyness. They didn't even have computers and cell phones and stuff then, but they knew that they needed a time and place apart. And it's the same goal today that we have at camp, to renew and grow in God's faith so that we can come back better equipped to serve. Not that we do anything different at camp from a theological point of view than we do in our congregations, but even 80 years ago, they knew that they needed concentrated time to gather and to grow in their faith together. How many of you have been to the camp? Okay, most of you. How many of you have ever helped with a day camp that you've held here, often with Northridge? Some of you? Yeah, okay. How about, have you been on staff? How many of you have been on staff? Some of you, yes. Marguerite, long, long time staff member. Board member? Some of you have been on the board. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A delegate, or what we call our ambassadors to our annual meeting. Thank you again. How about have had a child on staff or a grandchild? Yes, many of you. Thank you. How many of you have been on a retreat at the camp? Oh, great. Yeah, a lot of our quilters out there too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your camp thrives because of your care, your prayers, your participation, your hard work, and your financial gifts. A few years ago, you adopted a cabin, Cabin 3, and named it the Lynx Cabin. It's one of the fun favorite cabins. Last summer, some of the kids said, why doesn't our cabin look like that one? Because your cabin at Bethlehem's Cabin is just gorgeous with really fun windows and curtains, and it's just beautiful. So thank you all for who helped with that. I would like to ask for your help. We do need summer staff. Bridget, I'm trying to talk her into applying for summer staff. The worker shortage has really hit us at camp. We're looking to now a little lower age for our support staff. So if you have friends, relatives, grandchildren, we also need we need support staff, counseling staff, nurses. We also need volunteers. Some of you are volunteering. I know Jana is. We're bringing her grandson this summer. And we need volunteers to do maintenance, kitchen, nurses. We need grandparents. Could be a grandparent for 150 kids. Doesn't that sound fun? We'd love to have you come out for a week. I want to ask you to help people understand that no one is ever turned away because of inability to pay. Doesn't matter if it's a family, an adult, a youth. Some people say, whoa, camp has gotten really expensive. Well, it is, and you know, it's it costs a lot to run a camp. Someone said that to me recently, and they said, yeah, when I went to camp, it was $50. And I said, yeah, and I bought my first Chevy Love truck in 1977 for $3,000 brand new. You know, what do you pay for a car today? But things have gone up. We all know that. But because of partners, because of gifts, no one is ever turned away because of inability to pay. And so if someone says camp has gotten expensive, they're the ones that you say, pay what you can, but please come to camp. I'd also like to invite you. We have a wonderful retreat coming up. One of Dr. Hardell's friends, Lyle Grainer, is doing a retreat soon on peer ministry. Any adults can come to that, and any youth, to learn more about working with children and communicating with them. We have an adult spirituality retreat coming up with Dr. Andrew Root from Luther Seminary. We have over 110 programs this summer. Lots of retreats. We have the bishop and our assistant coming for a youth weekend this summer. So lots and lots of things going on. And I've put a display out in the narthex. If you would please pick up some brochures and things as you leave today. We would love to have you be a part of camp. I also invite your gifts, whether it's a gift now that helps sustain the camp, or think about a gift in your estate plan, giving 5% to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 5% to the camp. I know we have one of our camps in Michigan. Because of their endowment, no one is paying to go to camp this year. And that's our goal too, that someday, because of our endowment, if every one of us left 1%, 2%, 3% in our estate plan, that could be a goal realized. So I look forward to visiting with you more. Thank you for your care and your prayers. Come downstairs. We're going to talk a little bit about camp and also talk about that wonderful psalm that was sung so beautifully in our modern day language. And come down for donuts, and I'd love to hear your stories of camp. So thank you so much. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I learned a new word this week. Splanitzomi. Say that with me. Splenitsomi, splenitsomi. It's a Greek word, and if any of you are Greek, I'm probably saying it wrong, right, Dick? But it is the word used in the parable today for compassion, although we don't have a very equivalent word to it, because it combines empathy, grace, kindness, mercy, sorrow, compassion, and forgiveness. The word is first used when the father sees his son returning from that distant country where he squandered everything he had and sunk to the lowest level imaginable, tending pigs, which was like the lowest thing a Jew could do. Now let's back up and get the whole picture. The reason Jesus is telling this parable is because the scribes and the Pharisees were grumbling about Jesus eating with sinners. Good Jews never did that. So Jesus told them a parable. In fact, he told them three parables about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Many of you know these stories, these beautiful parables Jesus tells of a God so full of boundless love and grace and mercy that splenitsomi, God will do anything to find us, to love us, to welcome us, to seek us out. Jesus describes the Father picking up his robe and running to meet his son and to prepare a feast for him. Think of that image of God reaching out, running. This summer at camp, as I said, our theme is boundless, God beyond measure, goodness beyond measure is one day, love beyond measure, forgiveness beyond measure, and generosity beyond measure. And on day four, forgiveness beyond measure, we will study the prodigal son, this scripture that we read today. Staff and youth will hear this story from different perspectives, depending on where they're coming from. How do you hear this story? Do you identify with anyone in this story? What do you recall from this story? Dr. Mark Allen Powell, a professor at Trinity Seminary, we had him out here a few years ago. I went to that seminary. We had him out here a few years ago as our retreat leader. And in one of his writings, he shared about this parable about the prodigal son and how different people hear this story from different perspectives, from different points of views. For just a couple minutes, maybe even just a minute, I would like you to turn to the person next to you, or if you can get close to someone or in talking distance, and quickly tell what you hear in the story. Retell the story exactly as you recall it. One person share first. The other person's job is just to listen, not to correct or edit or change it in any way, but then switch places and have the other person do it. So I've got my stopwatch here, and I'm going to give you a minute and a half. Go. Boy, a minute and a half seems like a long time when you're looking at a stopwatch, doesn't it? When Jesus wanted to tell us about God and about the kingdom of God and the radical welcome for all people, Jesus told stories, lots of stories. The prodigal son story is one of the most well-known, and so most of us have had some experience with it. We've heard it before. So what did you hear the other person say, or what did you recall? Or those of you listening or sitting alone, what ran through your mind about this prodigal son story? What did you share? I want to ask you, how many of you in telling the story or hearing it mentioned or heard the word that there was a famine going on? Okay, a few of you. All right. Dr. Powell talks about in his writing how he did an experiment with some seminary students and that he found, regardless of age, race, status, that almost 100% of his seminary students left out the fact that there was a famine, and that the only thing these students had in common was that they were all Americans. And then when he went on sabbatical in Russia, where he was teaching seminarians there, he found just the opposite. He writes, 42 of the 50 seminarians in Russia talked about the famine as the thing that stood out the most for them. The two groups heard the story different. The Russian students knew of famine, or at least knew from hearing stories from their families. And maybe some of their families had lived through the great famine of 1941 when St. Petersburg was besieged by the German army and nearly 700,000 people in that city died of starvation. But maybe you identified with the father, waiting, heartbroken, because someone you know or a child has wandered. Or maybe the older son, the one who was like kind of angry and, well, was angry, worked so hard and didn't like it that the younger son was welcome home. Didn't think it was fair. How many of us have ever said that? It's not fair. Or maybe you identified with the son who left and returned out of desperation. It wasn't a matter of swallowing his pride because there was no pride left. He would return, he said, to be a slave. Or maybe some of you heard about the famine going on. That's what you recalled. I know my parents growing up in the 30s talked about food stamps and how it was hard for me to even relate to that. Or maybe you talked about the feast, the dancing, the celebration, that all are welcome in the kingdom of God. Splenitsomi, splenitsomi, happened in this story, and it happens here, and it happens at camp. It happens when a camper realizes that their dad, who is in prison, can be forgiven. It happens when a group of boys last summer, 13-year-old boys, groaned when they saw that they had someone in their cabin who was in a wheelchair. And then the rejoicing, the celebration, when they got that boy up 70 feet in the high ropes course. And tears were running down all of their faces. It happens when a church council who's been bickering and arguing or in conflict gather for a retreat. And they get to know each other, and they are able to come together so that they can work together for the sake of the gospel when they get back to the congregation. Or when a foster mom calls me just recently and said, "Can I send my foster children to camp?" And I say, "Yes, every foster child can come to camp and not have to pay anything thanks to gifts." And she said, "Because my foster son came home a different person last summer. He was transformed. For the first time, he said he felt loved and accepted. And he wanted to know more about this Jesus that you talk about. Or when a teenager comes to camp, not on her own will, kicking and screaming, and her mom and dad drop her off, and she's mad because, how am I going to get along without my cell phone and my friends all week? And by the end of the week, she is talking about welcoming others and wanting to go home to make her school a more welcoming place. A few years ago, I received a call from a boy who was coming on a camper ship, and suddenly there was no one to bring him to camp. And I asked one of the staff if they could go pick him up. He jumped in a car, ran down to Hot Springs on a Sunday morning, got to the trailer where the boy was, picked him up, and he said the boy came out with a paper bag. He asked what he had in it, and he said, some old flip-flops and a torn t-shirt. Well, they got back to camp, and the staff quickly went to work and finding a pillow and sleeping bags and towels and swimming trunks, shampoo, and all the things this boy would need that week. I loved watching that cabin that week, those 14-year-old boys playing and praying and swimming and canoeing together, hiking together. And after the week was over, I was talking to the counselor, and he told me how that cabin group had grown, and he said, I can't quite remember which was the one that came with just one little bag of things, because they had formed a family at camp, and in the kingdom, the playing field is leveled. All are welcome at Jesus' party. Through Christ, God loves all equally, the same, even those we might not deserve or feel deserve God's love and forgiveness. God's story is never one thing. God's stories never mean one thing. For every story of Jesus you think you have deciphered, there is someone not far from you who hears the story a little different and might mean something different to them. And perhaps the holy work which you and I are called to these days is not to argue with one another about who is right, but to listen to each other and expect that we will hear God speaking to us through the other person. Because whenever Jesus wants to tell us about God, he doesn't give us an answer, he tells us a story. I wonder what new story you will hear this week that breaks open your experience of God. The doors are open, and God throws a party for all. For once you were lost, and now you are found. And everyone is welcome because of God's grace and love and mercy. Everyone is welcome at the table. And it's not complete until everyone is there. Splenitsomi. Thanks be to God. Amen.